Hey, everybody, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday, we're tracking the hurricane.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what time the hurricane's going to hit me. Jenny's fighting with me about it, but she's right.
I'm not fighting you.
I can't figure out
when. I wasn't fighting, I was correct. You know?
It doesn't really say. It's going to hit Cuba around 4:30.
You have to do is you have to go to the hurricane tracker, and okay, it'll have like little bars where it'll be
I saw that.
The time and like when it's going to hit.
I think I saw that shit, and then it vanished because it was like a video.
Well, okay.
It's like a video.
But there should be a tracking map at this point. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. We just gotta
It's brown. I think it doesn't matter.
It's tomorrow. So I'm not really sure. Like, hopefully,
somebody in the comment section could figure it out.
Hopefully,
I gotta do the show.
Hopefully, we'll be able to do the show tomorrow.
Right.
That's what I wanted to know. But we'll see, because I'm not really sure if we'll have power. Yes, we have generators. Yes, we went today and got a bunch of gasoline for the generators.
I might be able to run the Wi-Fi. And then we have a backup fucking satellite, but the streaming will suck on fucking.
Yeah, we won't be able to stream on that because, we do have backup satellite, but that's not going to be good enough to stream on. So I'll keep everybody posted.
You can stream, but it's like at 280.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to look like little little blurs like that, like little schmoes. Right. So, but I'll keep everybody apprised of what's going on with the storm and if we're going to be able to stream the show tomorrow night. It's actually not. It was raining really bad earlier because we went out to put gas in the car and like fill up some gas cans.
It's like Apocalypse Now
and stuff like that. But and we had to drive really far because the gas stations closest to us were out.
Sold out. Yep.
So so we had to go like farther away. But we did find a place that had some. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, and it was like storm. It wasn't storming. It was raining really hard then. But it's not raining right now. Like at the moment. So let's talk about Alligator from 1980. Man, I was so happy that we watched this again, because this movie, I remembered really liking this movie when I was younger, and I probably saw it when I was 10 or 11 years old, something like that, and I remember really liking it and, like, really scaring, you know, being really scared of it, because I'm scared of alligators. I had forgotten just how fucking fun this movie is. This is a delightful movie.
It's a good movie. Almost like an all-star cast. I wouldn't say they're stars, but you recognize everybody in the movie. The best thing about it is that the edit is really good. It moves forward. It constantly keeps you entertained. It's never really slow. It's just like a disaster monster movie. Kind of like Piranha or something.
Well, it's actually the same guy that wrote Piranha.
Is it? Okay.
John Sayles.
I called it.
And also the same guy, he also wrote The Howling.
Yeah.
And he wrote Clan of the Cave Bear.
Okay.
And he actually wrote the first draft of what would eventually become E.T. Back when it was like a scary movie. I think it was called Night Skies or Dark Skies or something like that.
He wrote that
as well.
Because I was liking it as much as I like Piranha.
Yeah, so it's similar. It's the same writer. And it's kind of like, well, the thing about it, I think much like Piranha, because, you could argue these are kind of like Jaws ripoffs. They're structured very similarly to Jaws. But Piranha and Alligator, I think, are the best of the Jaws ripoffs, or like the killer animal kind of thing, because they didn't take themselves too seriously. Like, they're funny and they're satirical, but not, like, goofy or wacky. And they did actually take it seriously enough to, like, do good special effects and shit like that in it.
Yeah, and the characters were at least kind of engaging, you know what I mean? The central guy in this is a cop, all right? He's an investigator, and he lost his partner before. It's kind of a tired trope. And he's got a kind of a bad reputation. Nobody wants to work with him. But he's got a young guy that does want to work with him, and they're trying to figure out what the hell happened to the damn alley. You know, why are there all these dead body parts of people fucking coming out of the damn sewers, and dead dogs showing up and missing dogs? And the good thing about it is that the characters are not dumb. They quickly figure out shit out. They're not, in a bad movie, the characters never figure out what's happening, and the audience knows what's going on.
Come on, dummy.
he's real good. He figures out real quickly what was going on and what was going on with the fucking pets and everything at the dam, and the drug industry that was buying bootleg pets from the damn pet store and using them as test subjects, and they get into human growth hormones and steroids and shit like that, and it's good.
Yeah,
dogs got too big, and then the alligator got too big.
That's what happens. Mm-hmm. I have to say, too, this is also, not only was it the same writer as Piranha and The Howling, which are both amazing movies, but this was the same director as Cat's Eye,
okay,
Cujo,
okay,
and Jewel of the Nile.
Okay. So the movie's got a pedigree.
That's what I mean. And all of the actors, I think I recognized every single fucking actor in this, even if I couldn't, like, place where else I'd seen them.
Yep.
I mean, Robert Forster, he's, like, the main guy, like, the main cop. He just really, like, elevated this movie, I feel like. He was just such a great character.
Yeah. Even the black cop, the one that just had, like, a couple of lines, the character, you know, his mother was reading the papers.
Yeah.
The paper. I recognize the guy, and he looks super familiar, but I don't know. He's from, I don't know if he's from T1 or, he wasn't from Terminator 1. He's from other movies. When you see him, you recognize him. But he played bit parts and cops. He was fucking known for playing cops.
There's certain kind of actors that always get stuck playing cops. Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah, he was one of those. But everybody, including like people that only had like one or two lines in the movie, you recognize them. Everybody was a character actor.
Yeah, there's like a guy from Godfather 2 in this. Yep. Robert Forster was in. You probably recognize him in The Black Hole. He was also in Jackie Brown.
That's right. He was the dude from Black Hole. Yeah. That's right. Jenny, who is that guy?
I figured you.
He was
in Mulholland Drive, too.
Yeah, he was basically the star of the Black Hole. He was the one that was like the captain of the Pegasus? Isn't that the name of the dam?
I can't remember.
Now, what was the name of the damn ship that came and found a fucking Max von fucking... Man, why are you asking me these questions? I don't know
why I didn't ask you.
Questions.
Nobody asked you.
You know my memory's fucked up. But when they...
Nobody asked you.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's what it is. That was the dude from A Black Hole, which is a forgotten Disney science fiction movie that if you haven't seen it, see it. See it. It's pretty good. It's like a classic horror movie, kind of, but G-rated. It's nice.
Yeah, Mango said Robert Forster played a big part in Breaking Bad. That's right. Danny Rowling said Max Cherry. Yeah, that was the name of his character in Jackie Brown. That was Max Cherry. Ship is called the Icarus, Oscar.
Okay. The one, his ship. Yeah, and the other one was called, the one that went into the black hole was called the, what was the name of that one? The Cygnus? No, I don't remember that.
I don't know. I don't have notes for that. You pull out all these other like movies, and I've seen it a million times.
Saw what I saw in the theater when I was a kid. I loved it, and there was never a damn sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so the thing about this one, so obviously, here's the weird thing. I'm pretty sure that they shot it in L.A. Okay, obviously, but it was supposed to be every single thing that I've seen about this movie that wasn't the actual movie, like all the press stuff and the description, says it's supposed to be set in Chicago, even though it's clearly set in Missouri.
Yeah.
Because there's even a thing like at the beginning, like where the little girl who has the pet alligator who grows up to be the the herpetologist or the reptile scientist later on, she's coming back from vacation with her family in Florida, and it says, "Welcome to Missouri." And then they're even talking about Robert Forster's character, where he was a cop in St. Louis, and then he came to this town, and I was like, well, this is obviously not St. Louis, but it seems like it's still Missouri, so I don't know why they were trying to, like, make believe it was Chicago, because it's clearly Missouri, even though it was shot in L.A.
It was not called the Icarus. It was, one of them was called the Cygnus, and the other was called the Palomino. Forster played the captain of the Palomino. That's right. Yeah, y'all remember. Y'all are good with movies. Okay.
Danny Rowling said the guy that plays the hunter, that was Silva, right? Henry Silva, in this movie, just recently passed away. Yeah, that's right. He played a mob boss in the film Ghost Dog Way the Samurai. It's every time I see Henry Silva, I know he was in great movies, too, but every time I see him, I always remember him from, like, what was that movie that was on Mystery Science Theater, Leave the Bronx 2000? Escape 2000, whatever the fuck it's called. It has like a bunch of, it's like an Italian ripoff. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen
Escape from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. Yeah, it's called something. I think on Bronx MST it was called Escape 2000, but it's usually called like Escape the Bronx or something. Yeah.
It was a bullshit ripoff.
It was. But I mean, the MST episode was delightful. Mm-hmm. But I remember Henry Silva was in that, like, as the main bad guy. I like, in this one, it's funny because he only shows up probably about like halfway through the movie. One of the best scenes in this is when he's talking to, it's a reporter that he's talking to, right? Because he's supposed to be like the great white hunter guy, and like he comes like with the fucking safari outfit on, and he's hunted every animal, blah blah blah, so he's gonna like come and hunt this like 36 foot alligator in the sewers.
Yeah.
And he's talking to, I think he's like talking to a reporter, and he's all like trying to, you know, trying to like fucking flirt or whatever, like in this really weird way, and he's making the alligator mating sounds like at her, and you can tell that he's like kind of trying not to laugh, and it's just like so fucking great. It's like so, it's so cringy, but it's like still really really funny. But yeah, so this takes the whole trope about you know, little baby alligators getting flushed down the toilet. Like I said, I think the urban legend, I have to check on this, but there was apparently a real incident that took place in the 1930s in New York, where a bunch of little kids were like shoveling snow or something, and they were throwing snow down a manhole, and a 6-foot alligator kind of crawled up and tried to get out of the manhole, and they were like, fuck that alligator, and they caught the alligator and then beat it to death like with a shovel or something like that. So it was in like some of the papers at the time, so that might have been where the urban legend came from. Like, that alligator, nobody knew, like, how the alligator got there or how it survived or whatever. They think it maybe just, like, escaped from somewhere. Because it does, I don't think, I mean, alligators can't, they can survive in the cold, but they don't move around. They just kind of, like, they go into, like, stasis when it's cold outside, like a lot of reptiles do. So I don't really know, like, how long it would have survived down there.
Not long.
Yeah, that's the thing. So maybe it just came from somewhere else and it happened and it was trying to get out because he was like, shit, it's cold down here. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, they have to be able to sun themselves during the day. So a subterranean life, they would die.
They can move.
Well, if you flushed it down a toilet and it got in a sewer system, it would spend all its time trying to go down river or go downstream somehow and escape and get out. They might be able to get out because that eventually leads to the sea.
Yeah.
And they're okay in the sea. But if it was trapped in there, I don't think any alligator longer than 18 inches would get enough food. It would grow and then not be able to meet its caloric, and then it would be too cold. And no.
But I'm just saying, it's a fun urban legend. Yeah. And you know, it, like I said, it went around. I remember hearing it when I was a kid too, that it's like, you know, you buy the little baby alligators and then you know, they'd get too big, you'd flush them down the toilet, and then they would grow to like enormous size down there. I kind of like that they had, like you said, in this one they gave the reason for the alligator getting so big. They say it's 36 feet, right? Because he said it's like as big as a car, or actually bigger than a car, like with the tail. So, so it's down there eating. There's this, you know, nefarious pharmaceutical company that's experimenting with these synthetic hormones. And they're, of course, like, because they're evil, are experimenting on little puppies, little doggies, which is awful. And then, like, when the little doggies die, they're like, hey, go dump them in the sewer. So the alligator's been eating them. So he's been, like, ingesting all of these hormones. So he got, like, super, super big. And then, like, nobody really gives a shit about that, but then I guess the alligator starts eating, like, the sewer workers, and then, like, arms and legs and shit like that, like, start turning up in the in the fucking, popping up in the river and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a misconception here, you know, that if you take some steroids or growth hormones that you get big. No, there has to be caloric intake somewhere. Where's that mass coming from? Yeah, so, yeah, you could take steroids or growth hormones out of these damn animals that he's eating, but then you'd have to eat a bunch of biomass to grow, you know, and there isn't enough down there for something 36 foot long alligator. Fuck no, because it's an inefficient system, very inefficient protein synthesis. So he'd probably have to eat half his body weight a day, maybe. Maybe one third his body weight, and then they're just no. No. For the growth spurt, no. It's just a movie, but it's kind of funny that they tried to pass that off. There's not a food.
Well, and you have to think, too, that the timeline of the movie, because it turns out, spoiler alert, yeah, that the alligator, like the big 36-foot alligator, is the same one that the little girl's dad, named Ramon. I love that. Ramon the alligator. I was like, yeah, he kind of looks like a Ramon. But that was the same one that got flushed down a toilet. And it was, so it was 12 years.
So he'd been down there 12 years.
So he'd been down there 12 years. No. So it took that long to... It's a movie, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
It's a movie, Tom.
I know. I'm just, you know.
You're taking it very, very seriously. Well, it's just a movie.
Just lack of sunlight.
Well, just, that's just why some versions of the alligator in the sewers urban legend adds the extra detail that they're albinos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because of that.
They're trying to...
I mean, there are albino alligators. I've seen them. Yeah. Like, they have them at the alligator farm. They're actually really pretty. They look like they're made of, like, white chocolate.
If you live down here, you know more about these kind of things. And laying out and basking in the sun is a big part of alligators and crocodiles' life. You know what I mean? They have to have that every day. No, but it's a cool movie. It's a cool movie.
Manga says, now that's a t-shirt. It's a movie, Tom. Yeah. He's taking it very, very seriously. I'm like, it's just a fun movie. Like I said, piranhas don't eat people either, but it's a really entertaining movie. And the thing about it is that I kind of feel like when we were talking about Chud, I was watching a review of Alligator, and somebody said, I really would have liked to have seen like an Alligator Chud crossover. Like, with the Chuds, like, riding on these big Chud alligators. I'm like, that would have been pretty epic. Somebody needs to make that. But I think what's cool about this one, and I like Chud a lot, too, but this one does not seem slow to me at all. It's paced very, very quickly.
Yeah.
It's basically, like, you see, like, the baby alligator at the very beginning, and it just starts jumping ahead. It's like, it doesn't have any fat on it. It has, like, a couple of little, like, romance scenes, you know, where Robert Forster's character is kind of, like, him and the lady scientist are falling in love. Yeah. But I don't even mind those just because... the dialogue is so funny. Yeah. And you know, like, Robert Forster, I heard, because you know there's like a running gag in the film about his hairline, like people keep like shit, like picking on him about it, you know, you should go to a salon for that, they could cover that up, you know what I mean, like all that kind of stuff. Apparently that started out as Robert Forster ad-libbing and like making jokes about his receding hairline, and John Sayles thought they were so funny that he decided to make that a running gag in the film. So I kind of like, I don't know, I really like the sense of humor of this. As I said, it's not like over the top and zany and wacky. Like, I wouldn't call it a horror comedy necessarily, but it does have like really good comedic kind of touches in it that really, I don't know, it kind of really gets you invested. And it also, I gotta say, yes, you can tell that the alligator, how they did the alligator, they built like a, you know, an animatronic sort of alligator for some of the more close-up scenes, like the head and everything like that. And then for kind of the long shots where you see the alligator walking around, they just have like a regular size alligator walking through miniature sets.
It's effective.
And I think you can tell it's fake, but I think it looks really, really good for like as low budget as this is.
It's not, if you're looking for accuracy and shit with this movie, if you're looking for fucking realism, you shouldn't be watching this movie. Come on. You know, if you watch a movie called Alligator, we know what kind of movie you're wanting to see anyway. You know what I mean? It's one of these. Come on.
And this is, like I said, this is one of the best nature run amok, you know, nature monster kind of movies that came out in the wake of Jaws. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of structured a lot like Jaws because it kind of has, you know, you kind of have your sheriff or your cop character, you know, like the broody stand-in in Robert Forster's character, and nobody believes him at first. Nobody, because he sees it, right? And his partner gets et in like what is pretty. That's a pretty horrible scene. Like his little, I can't remember where I've seen that guy too. Like the blonde guy that played like his young rookie partner, Kelly, the guy's name was.
Yeah,
the one that got eaten. Like he got pulled down and like pulled out. And I was like, well, that's horrifying. But I've seen him before too, but I can't remember where. And I forgot to look it up. But so, so that, like, stuff happens. But then, like, you also have, you have, like, the Hunter character, which would be, like, the Quint, you know, sort of character.
Although in nowhere Henry near Silva's. As cool as Quint.
Well, no, no, no. But I'm just saying that's kind of just kind of.
Like,
and then you have, like, a shitty mayor that's also kind of, like, on the take from the pharmaceutical company. So he's trying to, like, keep all this stuff covered up. But, yeah, you don't actually find out. They don't actually believe Robert Forster about the alligator because he sees him and how big he is. Even, like, the lady scientist is kind of, like, pulling a Tom and being like, no, they don't get that big in the thing and it's not. And then, you know, but then, like, that real asshole reporter goes down there, like, taking pictures, and he gets eaten by the alligator, but in the course of getting eaten by the alligator, he gets, like, a bunch of pictures of, like, the inside of its mouth and all this other kind of shit, like, all these big kind of teeth and all this other stuff. So they're like, oh, I guess you were right. There is, like, a big giant alligator
down
there.
Since you mentioned Quint, thinking about Jaws again, because we watched it again, that character made that movie. Quint.
Yeah.
If that character didn't exist or it was somebody else, I don't think that movie would have been remembered the same way. That Quint character was fucking... And I never saw that dude in any other movies. What happened to him? Did he die after that or something? Or was he so typecast they couldn't use him in anything else?
I don't know. I think he'd been in a lot of stuff previous to that.
Okay. So that might have been his farewell or something.
Maybe. I think he was kind of a bad drunk.
Was he? Okay.
I think. I don't want to, like, be impugning the
dead.
He
was fucking perfect for that role, man. You buy that character.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah.
Fourth Showdown said Tom Cruise would have gotten a real giant alligator.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, that'd be fucking funny, man. He'd be talking to the Scientologist. Come on, we can get a giant alligator. Scientology, man, we can do it. We'll just make some growth hormone. Yeah, we'll make growth hormone. We can do it.
They can use their OT powers to make a giant alligator.
Fucking science.
They'll just look at a regular size alligator really hard.
Yeah. That's a good idea, man. Fucking right, man. Yeah. And all roles would be folded into Tom Cruise's role. He would be the
Tom
great
Cruise should also play
the fucking cop,
the giant alligator.
Yeah, and he's the alligator. And he's the alligator too. He's all of them. Yeah.
I'd pay to watch that
fucking
movie.
Tom,
and I don't even really like Tom Cruise that much, but I would pay to watch that, especially if he's playing the giant alligator.
I haven't seen the new Top Gun, man, but evidently that shit's still in the fucking movie theater.
Yeah.
We can make fun of fucking Tom Cruise all you want. I like a lot of his movies. I like Tom. I think he's a fucking trip. I don't agree with everything, but I still think he's a trip. And I think he's probably a dick, you know, but I like him. And then, you cannot fucking say that Tom Cruise does not fucking bring it. Okay? He brings it. That last movie fucking kicked ass. It made a lot of money. So that's his job, you know. So it's not like you're dealing with fucking Steven Seagal, you know, who can't really bring it.
Mango says, Robert Shaw, the guy that played Quint, amazing actor and writer. He also played the villain in The Sting and From Russia with Love. So there you go. I thought he'd been in a bunch of stuff like before that.
Yeah.
They said he was a classically trained actor.
Okay.
Holy Parish of Doom. Yeah, he was a bad alcoholic.
I remember The Sting. And I remember that.
Yeah, I saw that when
I was
a kid.
I remember The Sting, and I was a kid when I saw it. I think I saw it on television. And it was a lot of it was above my head, over my head. I really couldn't. They were a bunch of con men, if I remember correctly, back in the roaring 20s or Great Depression or something. I'd probably like it.
Yeah, you probably would.
Right.
Bethina says, hi to all. I love alligator movies. Big fear of mine, alligators. Yeah, mine too. And honestly, this one, you get pretty much exactly what you pay for with this one, because you get to see the alligator munch like a whole bunch of people, like in full glorious color. Because like I said, the fake alligator head that they use is great. Like, you actually get to see people like going in its mouth and him like chewing them all up. It eats a kid. Oh my god, I love that scene so much. Like, there's a scene, they're having like a little kid's party or something like that, and there's two kids dressed like pirates for some reason, and they have another kid, they're gonna make the kid walk the plank, even though that kid's not, you know, he's not participating in the pirate cosplay, but whatever, he was a cowboy, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a cowboy, what am I doing here? I'm not on a pirate ship.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they take him out to the pool.
He gets eaten. Yeah.
And unbeknownst to them, because it's nighttime, the alligator's like, ooh, look, a little snack, like, coming out. He eats the kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's great.
And then his brothers that threw him in went, Mom! They went running back to go fucking call Mom. That's fucking funny.
You have one less mouth to feed.
Yeah. That would have fucking that would have freaked me out when I was
I think
a kid.
That scared me when I was a kid because normally most horror movies even back in the 80s like there were some that went there but a lot of American horror movies would kind of like pull its punches a little bit like Killing a Kid but that one went all in it was like nope we're just either you throw that kid in the pool and the fucking alligator ate him.
I see it now as an adult and I know that they're trolling. They're like, you didn't think we were going to do that but we did.
Fuck that kid. Yeah. Alligator don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's funny when you've seen it as an adult, but as a kid, that would have scared me.
Yeah, well, I think that was one of the things that scared me. It's weird because the scene that I remembered the most, because like I said, I don't think I've seen this since probably I was 10, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think that was the last time. But the scene that stuck with me the most for whatever reason was like when I think he was like a cop, right? And the cop gets out of the car and the alligator's like coming toward him like that and grabs the guy's legs and starts pulling him and he starts trying to get back in the car and like he's hanging onto like the car, like hey, door handle and shit like that. And then it's just like, wah, wah. And I was just like, oh, that scared me so bad. And that wedding scene too, like at the end, somebody said earlier, it's like that wedding scene is amazing where the alligator just comes and like fucking eats everybody and then he jumps on top of that car and like squishes that old guy that's like the head of the pharmaceutical. So it's like almost like the alligator knew like he was going to get revenge on the people that like made him grow that big, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, he's just like, I don't know. There's a lot of people around at the wedding. Just he's just going to eat them all.
They're just trying to, the movie's just trying to give some payoff because you've been watching it and you want the shit to fucking go down. It's fucking over the top. The alligator busts into the party and eats the sexy maid.
Because she's like, oh no!
Yeah, she's
going right into its mouth, down its throat.
She's in the black maid outfit with the fucking white, with all the damn white fucking
so good
apron and shit. And she's just chomped her fucking sexy ass up right in front of everybody. Maid or waitress? What'd you call it? Waitress. Maid.
I'm pretty sure it was a traditional maid outfit.
It was
outfit.
A traditional, like a maid outfit. And
the French maid.
Yeah, like a French maid.
Yeah.
And then they had all the damn garçons and shit fucking running around everywhere, all the damn waiters. Fucking funny. And all the old people fucking not knowing what to do and shit. And they're like, And then they had some weird scene where this fucking old dude, about 70-something, bald, he's got to own the drug industry. He owned the drug factory.
Yeah, right? He was the
going
the
on and on about meat and sausages, and his fucking 20-year-old girlfriend is coming. When he's talking about it, remember that? Basically, going on about meat, and she's, remember? Didn't you catch that?
I don't remember that scene, actually.
I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Maybe you were talking or I wasn't paying attention.
I was like,
hold on, what's going on here? He's barbecuing, and he's talking
to her. Oh, that's right,
about
that's right, okay. I forgot about, oh, that's right.
And she's going, like, she's fucking crazy.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there going, meat, what? And then I was like, oh, yeah, when he said barbecue,
Yeah.
But.
And it's kind of subtle, it's not real in your face, but I was going like, well, am I seeing this? Are they really going that way? Or am I imagining this shit?
Well, no, because, I mean, like I said, the script, much like the script for Piranha, which was written by the same guy, it was actually, like, kind of clever and was actually kind of, like, satirical, so there was, like, a bunch of little kind of, like, jokes and digs and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were digging on fucking the rich old man fucking young girlfriend fucking angle of the situation.
Yeah, she was standing there going,
was a nympho,
And he was like,
he was going on about how you
barbecue, and it's like, yeah, you really have to do this and that again.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, whatever, dude.
And how juicy the meat is. She's like, fucking getting off on what he's saying.
She's like, ew, no one wants to hear about your juicy meat, Grandpa.
That's not what it showed, though.
I know, but
okay, I'm just telling you that's what it really showed. He tries to reverse that shit, but
no, I said that's what I was saying. Oh, okay. I wasn't like saying what was happening.
No,
in the movie.
She was a nympho. She was there for the money.
But maybe that's why she was pretending to be into it. Yeah. She's like, yeah, leave me all your money.
Right? Yeah, that's what it was. It's like, oh, what's her name? The old damn blonde, fucking big old blonde that married the billionaire and fucking took all his money. He was 90-something, and she was 20-something. Fucking one that died of the drug overdose later, back in the 90s. Fucking shit. Yeah. Y'all remember who I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't remember.
Jeffy Art said, and yet the little dog lives. I was so happy, because so many dogs get fucked up in this, because like I said, they're experimenting on the dogs at the beginning. So when Robert Forster's character goes and he's like, you know, it's the damnedest thing, I bought a dog and like somebody stole it, like you find out later on that it was the pet store owner guy that stole it, the guy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And so you find that out. So he has this little, he buys this little dog, and I'm like, oh man, there's something really bad's gonna happen to that little dog. But the little dog makes it. And I was just like, well, that's good. Because I was, but I kind of feel like they did that on purpose, because they're like, oh, you think something really bad's gonna happen to this dog, but it doesn't. He lives. I think the last time they show him is just like at the end, like in an apartment or whatever. Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, Anna Nicole Smith. That's right. Anna Nicole Smith.
Hugo said Piranha 3D was funny. I've been like, is that the one? Wasn't there one that was Piranha 3 Double D or something like that? That was all kind
of.
Well, I told you that back when we did Piranha, I said we should probably do the sequel. Well, now see, Alligator had a sequel, which was called Alligator 2, the Mutation or something like that. Okay. But I think it just went to, this had a theatrical release, but the sequel went direct to video. Now I've heard it wasn't very good because I don't think anybody like reprised their roles from the first one. So I don't really know, like, from what I don't think I ever saw it, from what I could determine from like the other reviews, they're like, well, it's an okay movie if you don't like think of it as a sequel to this movie, like just watch it as a standalone. But I don't know if it would be worth watching, because this one is just so good, and I'm not even being like facetious when I say that. It's not even so bad it's good, it's just good. This is just like a really good, just like Piranha.
Yeah.
It's just like just a really fun, you get to see alligators chomping people. I was going to say the best thing too about the wedding scene is not only do you get to see alligators chomping all the people, like I said, in broad daylight, it's like not even dark or anything, but you also get to see him use his tail and like whack people all over them. Like people are fucking flying all over the shit and like flying into the cake and flying into the tables and shit like that. And I was like, that's fantastic. I like that they kind of like changed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they had, I guess, the trampolines or the launchers and everything like that. So they're like, we got to use that shit up. I read on Wikipedia, I don't know if this is true or not, but Kane Hodder, you know, very famous stuntman, you know, played Jason in the later Friday the 13th movies. I heard that he was kind of like controlling the alligator's head, like in some of the close-up shots. I don't know if that's true or not because he's not credited. But I've heard that, so I don't know if that's the case. But honestly, I think like the close-ups, because like I said, they do use real alligators in this. Like they're not giant, obviously, but the close-ups, like where the alligator's like eating people and stuff like that, I think the alligator looks really good, like the animatronic one, like for being as low budget as it is. Yeah. They said they had a lot of
better than the shark and Jaws. Come on, be honest.
That's what I was gonna say. I think it did.
That shark and Jaws doesn't look real at all.
But they said the problem, too, they said they had similar problems with their animatronic alligator as they had with Jaws. Like, they couldn't get it to work most of the time.
Yeah.
But, honestly, I couldn't even, I don't know, I thought it looked pretty good. And like I said, the scenes where they show, like, the actual alligator, like, you can tell that it's miniatures, but that's okay.
Yep.
Like, I thought it looked pretty good. Mango said Chud sucked.
Yeah, I didn't like Chud.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chud, but I think this is way better.
Yeah.
This is way better. Oscar said, say what you will about her. That's Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
But she gave that old coot a great time before his ancient self died.
Yeah. It's funny, man. I remember when that shit happened back in the 90s. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, you can just Google Anna Nicole Smith. She appeared in the 90s out of nowhere. She kind of was like the cutting edge of the Big Fine movement in the Anglo-American community. She was just this Texas chick who was big. She was fine, though. And she was a cashier at Walmart. That's where she was fucking found. She was really just kind of just a big figure, big boobs and shit. I think she was a stripper for a little while, too. But I think she was also like a cashier at Walmart. And she went from that to becoming a model and like a minor celebrity, and then marrying like a 90-something-year-old billionaire. And she got all his money. But then that family took it all from her. But she died of a damn drug overdose anyway. She was taking so many damn pills towards the end of her life. She just didn't know what to do with money. She didn't know what to do with fame, you know. It just destroyed her.
Well, that happens to a lot of people that they don't really...
There was nothing wrong with her. She wasn't a bad person. She was just a simple person who got famous too quickly and got super rich and too much, and there was just nothing to her. She was literally some chick from Texas that worked at Walmart, you know. And you pour millions of dollars into somebody's hands like that in fame, they usually implode, you know. It's just,
well, like I said, they don't have any experience. Yeah, with
they can't protect themselves. And they can't. They don't know what to do with the money, and reality gets warped for them, and they usually go into a cocoon and die.
Yeah, it's a shame. Mm-hmm. You know. Danny Rowling said, Robin Riker's tits makes this film just a tad better than Chud. Yeah. Now, does she actually show her tits in this? No. She wears kind of tight shirts, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's like a perky character.
Yeah.
I kind of like...
What? Are you, is that supposed to be clever?
Don't be mean, Tom.
It's funny.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, perky tits. That's what I'm talking about. It wasn't really a joke. I'm just saying. That's
you
what
said perky character.
I know.
Like, come on.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Perky. The weirdest scene, though, I think, is that, like, when the romance first starts developing between them, which I thought was kind of cute, but then there's that weird diner scene where she's kind of, like, kind of puts her head on his shoulder like that, and he's just like, nope, not having this, and I was just like, what the fuck happened to you, dude? He's got some issues, but yeah. But then, like, the next scene, he's like, yeah, sorry, I was an asshole. I'm like, okay, what was that all about? Fucking... You all right?
Oh, I'm fucking burning up. Go ahead.
God.
Yeah, I'm just burning up.
You just got all kind of problems.
Yeah.
You got all kind of problems.
I know.
But I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to do.
I'll be all right in a minute.
All right. So I guess we're going to wrap it up because you seem like you're having issues. But if you haven't seen Alligator from 1980 and you really like nature run amok movies, or you really like giant alligator movies or giant sea monster movies or anything like that, Alligator is easily one of the best ones. This one and Piranha, easily the best of, like, the Jaws kind of rip-off movies, I guess. Actually, Alligator is on Shudder. I think the second one is on Shudder, too, if I'm remembering, at least as of this stream. So, yeah, this is actually, like, legitimately a really, really entertaining movie. I found it very, very entertaining. I was never bored. I was just, like, all in the whole time.
You guys know me. I got no patience
for
this shit.
It was super, super fun.
I got no patience.
It's super fun.
I got no patience for the shit. I like this one.
Yeah, I liked it, too. It's, like, it's really entertaining.
Yep.
It gives you, like I said, it gives you exactly what you pay for.
Yeah.
All the characters are great. You get the alligators all over, and he eats, like, a whole bunch of people. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's about, like, Piranha.
Yeah. Like I said, same writer. But yeah, so tomorrow we'll see how shit goes, because if you don't know, we're in Florida, and we're right in the path of the hurricane. So we will try to do the show tomorrow at the regular time, 6 p.m. Eastern, but if we don't have power or we can't get some things to work, like, I'll try to keep everybody updated as to, like, what's going on and if we're still here or if we blew away or whatever. So we'll see how it goes. I'm kind of hoping that it'll be all right.
It's going to be all right.
We'll see, hopefully.
This house is much better defended than their old house 15 miles up the road.
Don't jinx it, though.
And we went through that hurricane.
Don't jinx it.
That hurricane fucking went right over us. I mean, it was a direct hit.
Yeah.
Well, the main thing over here is it won't flood here. And that's the main risk, flood.
Yeah.
So we're not in any kind of flood danger. That's most of it. And this house has been hit before. So it'll be all right.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Like I said, it's more...
It's got a lot less glass in it.
It's more like the power will be out, and it'll be kind of like a pain in the ass, I think, is like the worst.
I got those generators,
kind of shit.
And we got fuel in the cars and cans, and after the storm passes, you go out and you put your generators up, and you start piping in, bring in the fucking window units, and start hooking up all your damn extension cords. So, I'll run some air conditioners up here, and... try to run the internet, and then keep the freezers and refrigerators going, and the ice makers.
Yeah, because we got all kind of food down there, including my frozen birthday cake.
Yeah,
which I think I'll have. Yeah, I think I'll have another piece of that right now. We had to, like, freeze it because the birthday cake is good, but it's like I got, like, a really, really rich one.
It's super rich.
So it's not like the one that we got from Publix from your birthday was, like, a lot easier to eat.
I could eat a whole cake.
You could just eat a whole cake. But this one, you got to kind of, like, keep it to, like, small because it's very, very rich.
The one that I got was a vanilla fruit based cake with just, and it didn't have, the frosting was just whipped cream on it. So it wasn't real sweet.
Yeah.
And it had, what is it, kiwis and
strawberries and lemons and lemons. I don't remember what the fuck else was in there.
And man, you could literally
peaches. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was delicious. You could literally eat a half a cake at a sitting, and it wouldn't be so rich and so sweet that you couldn't do it. You could just eat it.
Yeah, but the one I got, like I said, is kind of more like caramel and pecan.
Yeah, it's good, but boy, it's like eating candy.
Yeah, it's good. It's good though.
Yeah, I'll get some of it too.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some. Like I said, we're keeping it in the freezer, so it doesn't go bad. But yeah, so like I said, I'll keep everybody apprised tomorrow of what's going on. Hopefully, we don't have any alligators swimming around in our on the first floor, like in Crawl. But because that was a hurricane too, wasn't it? Like that alligator that came in the house. All right, so have a good rest of your evening, you guys, and we will see you guys again hopefully tomorrow.